Welcome to News Over Brews, the only podcast that breaks down the best of this week's pop culture over a nice cold beer. Sponsored by PopBreak.com. I am your host and moderator, Al Manarino. On this week's episode, we talk about our adventure in Boston, the return of the X-Files, an adaptation of Ready Player One coming to life, and the controversial decision made by the BBC. But first, we're going to introduce my two co-hosts. I'm really scared to do this. Lucas Jones.
Hey, Alfred, how's it going? Listen, I got to talk to you about something. We were driving back down in the car from Boston on the weekend, and you're fighting up quite a storm, I have to say. Wasn't too happy about that. Wicked smelly.
And, of course, Ryan DeMarco.
Oh, man. I was just eating a piece of marble rye over here given by my friend Bonnie. I'm like, Bonnie, you're such a cool guy, but you're a piece of garbage. Anyway, what's up, Al?
So, apparently, we've adapted Boston accents from our amazing adventure at the Extreme Beer Festival. But first, we're going to talk about the beer review, and then we'll get into our hijinks that we had there. Lucas, what are we drinking today, tonight, whatever?
Well, Al, we were originally going to pick a beer that would reflect the changing of the seasons.
That was the idea.
Winter is turning to spring, and the snow is melting, and, you know, the birds are singing, and love is in the air, and we were going to choose a beer that reflected that. But no, you had to go ahead and tell us to pick something you already had in your fridge. So we picked Founder's Breakfast Stout.
We went backwards in time.
I mean, I'm not complaining. Breakfast Stout is amazing. But I've had so much of them already. I mean, I guess I really can't complain about that, though. So Founders Breakfast Stout is, of course, brewed by Founders, located in Grand Rapids, Michigan. It is a double chocolate coffee oatmeal stout. This is definitely a beer that you can have for breakfast. Clocks in at 60 IBUs, 8.3% alcohol by volume. Holy shit.
And that's all we have to say about that. Yeah.
Ryan, I'll let you go first.
Ah, oh, boy, it's wicked hot. I love this.
All right, you can stop. Oh,
again. Pork roll. Heroes. Or no, it's subs down here, isn't
no,
it?
No, it's hoagies.
It's hoagies.
You're just naming food.
I'm just trying to get back into the South Jersey mindset.
All right, well, how about talk about the beer?
Yes. It was my first time with the breakfast stout. And it was very chewy, and the aroma kind of reminds, it's like a crazy kind of like bakery smell, kind of, when you, kind of like just pop the cap off and just get a little whiff in there. Very chewy, and, upon tasting, it's very full-bodied. You get a lot of coffee, cappuccino, perhaps. Just a very nice, like, smooth, roasty kind of punch. It's, I'd say moderate carbonation, probably. Nice, thin, tan head with it. Very, very silky smooth. I'm thoroughly impressed yet again with Founders. Founders, is always a go-to for me. Founders Porter is among one of my favorites. Gets me through tough times. My parents' divorce, my sex change, mm-hmm. All that.
Sex change back again.
Yeah. Where they forgot to put my penis back on.
So you just had to take half of mine. Still better off for now.
Still better off. Yeah. Still over a foot.
Yeah.
Lucas, what'd you think?
Yeah, I largely agree with you. The chocolate flavor is, like, ridiculous. Like, I've had chocolate stouts where it's like, oh, you say chocolate, but really all I'm tasting is, like, bitter. But, like, this is chocolate. This is, like, a whole bunch of chocolate, which is great. The oats kind of give it some body, some backbone, and the coffee is kind of a nice finish, I think. So you're kind of getting, like, chocolate up front, and then oats, and then the, not oats necessarily, but, like, the full body taste, and then the coffee on the back end. I would rather have this beer on nitro. 100 times I'd rather have this beer on nitro, I think. I think the carbonation really takes away from some of the flavors, and actually sometimes can be a bit harsh with the alcohol content. So you got, like, bitter carbonation and alcohol all together, where, like, if you're not quite ready for what it's going to be, like I've had this more times than I can count this winter, it's like sometimes it can be a bit harsh. So I'd rather have this on nitro, I think. But as it stands, it's a really good beer. Definitely bold flavors that work really well together. It's a big beer, for sure. It's an imperial stout. This is not going to be something that, like, goes down nice and easy. This is going to be something where you're going to have to work.
Certainly not a beer that you want to have the first week of spring.
I disagree.
So yeah, I thoroughly enjoyed it. Al?
I disagree. I think this is a perfect spring beer. Especially the first day of spring that we had here in both Jersey and in Boston, we had snow, which was horrible. I'm really liking the breakfast stout. The flavor is top notch. It's really delicious. You get the oatmeal, you get the chocolate, you get that, you get the roast. The only thing I'm not liking, and it's, I'm going to say the only negative that over other stouts of this caliber, is the aroma. I'm getting a little more booze than I want instead of roast. You know, I like having that, you know, that chocolate stout or, you know, that oatmeal stout that gets that, it's more the smell kind of hits you and just like, oh, I cannot wait to drink this. This, as it's sitting, has been more of a boozy smell. I don't know if you guys are getting that. I'm getting that.
Okay. This tastes like fucking cardboard.
It smells like cardboard. Well, see, the thing is that...
We're also drinking in the wrong glass, too, aren't we?
Yeah, so I'm going to reiterate again to the both of you.
And to our listeners.
You live in a first world country. You have cars. You have ready access to supermarkets and stores that sell glasses. Buy some glassware for the love of God. Because when you drink this out of the snifter-style glass, and you smell it out of the snifter-style glass, you're actually not getting a whole ton of booze. You're getting more chocolate and a little bit of coffee.
Well, how does that help me when I am currently sitting in your house, and I should bring my own beers?
Yes.
I came straight from the gym.
I have proper glassware.
Do you?
For me, this is not a communist utopia. You have to bring your own
shit. You should know this by now. I'm always here.
All right, well, by that logic, you can bring your Xbox One over and leave it here, too.
Okay.
That's true.
And by that, I'll hit you in the head with something really, really heavy before I leave.
The Xbox One.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, Ryan, can we play that Xbox One later?
Yeah, sure.
Cool.
All right, so in terms of a number, what do you say,
Al? Let me get one more sip.
I'm going to give it a solid 9.
I was going to go more of the 8. Mainly because I feel like, although my Cybermen Doctor Who glass is awesome, I don't think it's giving off all of the flavors that I'm supposed to be getting with this beer, nor smell. So I figure an 8 for now, but maybe if I can try it maybe on Nitro, which would be phenomenal, I feel like the rating would go higher just because it's Founders. Founders makes quality stuff. I don't think I've ever had a bad Founders beer.
I'm going to go with like a 9, 9.5. The only reason it doesn't get a 10 is because I think it would be much better on Nitro. I'm suffering with bubbles, carbonation a little bit. Yeah, 9, 9.5. I mean, I say like, oh, it's only a 9, 9.5. It's a really, really good beer. I highly encourage you, though, to drink it out of proper glassware. And also let it warm, because the taste changes as it warms. When we got it cold, first out of the fridge, it was, you're getting chocolate. You got a lot of chocolate. And as it warms, you're getting more of a boozy coffee kind of a note to it. So as the beer warms, the flavor changes, as with most heavy beers. So the other great thing about drinking it out of a snifter-style glass is that when you wrap your hand around the bottom, you're getting a lot of contact with the surface area of the beer, which warms it pretty quickly. So you can actually experience that before you get to the bottom of the glass. God, that sounded really pretentious.
That was so pretentious. But thank you, anyway.
You know what? It's true. It's totally true.
It's definitely true. I was going to say thank you, Lucas, as always, for fantastic beer review. But you did mention, you give this beer such a high rating. Last weekend, we gave a lot of beers high ratings. And that's because we were at the Beer Advocate Extreme Beer Fest in the Seaport World Trade Center in Boston, Massachusetts. Now, Ryan and I have never been to Boston. Lucas, you've been there a couple times, but you never have. Neither of us. None of us have gone to this Extreme Beer Fest. We went with our friend Dave, who was on the podcast a couple months ago, maybe last year.
He was on the Boston Roundtable from last year.
Yes. And that was probably the last time. Is that the last time you went to Boston too, right?
Yeah.
All right. So, and this was also sponsored by one of the most famous breweries in the world right now, Dogfish Head. And we came, we saw, we conquered. Now,
and then we came again.
And then we came again. this, we've gone to, as the podcast, we've gone to one other, two other beer fests. I went to one other one, was Seaside on Tap. You guys went to Hop Sauce last year.
Yeah.
But we tried a lot of beers at Seaside on Tap. This was a whole nother level. This was every brewery you could think of was there and present. And if they weren't there, that's because the same weekend was unfortunately another huge beer fest in AC, Atlantic City, for those who don't know what AC is. But, you know, we had, you know, famous craft breweries like Dogfish Head and Founders and Samuel Adams. And then we had more under the radar, but equally impressive breweries like Funky Buddha and a million other names that we can list off. So I'll send it back to Lucas because he is our beer guy, self-proclaimed. Luke, what did you think of the fest?
It was good.
Thank you. All right.
All right. End of podcast.
it was a lot of fun. You know, it combines the excitement of like running into an event, like trying to get a good spot in line with beer, you know, and it was nice because I didn't feel cramped. There was a ton of open space because I'm pretty sure they limited the ticket sales. They had a hard limit on ticket sales. Which was far under the capacity of the event space. Everything was nice and spread out. They didn't try to cram too much into too little of a space. Everybody was super chill. Like, nobody was, like, sprinting and, like, cutting the line and like, shouldering other people. And like, there was a ton of space in the middle where, you know, if you were one of those guys that wants to hit everything really fast, you could just jump real quick. And if you didn't, there was a ton of space where you could sit back and relax. So as a festival, I mean, highest honors as a festival. It was really well run. It was a really great job. In terms of the beers that were there, I mean, geez, if you aren't on Untappd, send us a friend request. The official account, if you search for News Over Brews, it should come up. If that doesn't come up, search for Lucas Jones. It should come up. It'll be a picture of a stunningly handsome person wearing a red shirt and holding up a glass of beer. That's me, by the way. Friend us, and you'll get to see all of our check-ins from the festival with some ratings and reviews. We did it on our Twitter also, so you can check out our Twitter page. I think my favorite beer from the festival was the Madagascar from Four Hands. That was absolutely phenomenal. And actually, Schmaltz Brewing, the people responsible for the Hebrew brand, they had Jubilation, which was a beer made with 17 types of hops, 17 types of malts, and 17% alcohol.
That was good.
But they also had an IPA aged in tequila barrels. For those of you who know me personally, you know my tequila is my go-to drink it's my jam. When I need to, like, throw down and, like, hit it hard and hit it good. Tequila. I'll shake his head.
Idiot. So was that your favorite beer of the night? That was my follow-up question for you. I was going to say, you know.
You know what? As much as I love the Madagascar, the Hop Mana IPA aged in tequila barrels might be my favorite.
All right.
Because it was so out of left field and because, I was surprised. It was really good.
Mm-hmm.
It was the Madagascar is a great beer to have one of. Phenomenal beer, tons of flavors, super complex. The Hop Mana IPA, I would drink all day.
Yeah.
And I'm not a hop head.
And you would be dead.
And I would be, no, I would be the life of the party.
That's true.
And then I would be dead.
Ryan, what did you think of your first time at the Extreme Beer Fest? And follow-up question, what was your favorite beer?
Well, I was highly impressed. My first time, our first time, well, yeah, as you said, our first time in Boston, me and you, Al. Lucas has been everywhere twice in the world. Yep. I loved it.
Hopeless wanderer.
It was absolutely wonderful. It was well run. Yeah, I got that. To answer your question, Lucas, too, there wasn't a swarm of dickheads, a murder of dickheads, because it was $60 a ticket. So you knew people going in were either A, in the wrong place, or they just really knew their beer and they just, you know, they knew what they were getting into, and they're not going to start swinging because they wanted, like at Seaside. Beers, no. So, a really well-run place. We didn't wait online for long. The big popular brewery there was Funky Buddha, obviously. And I remember us going in. We had a game plan. We were forming a game plan on the ride up. We figured Funky Buddha's gonna be swarmed, which it was. But the lines really ran pretty smooth. I remember I went there probably three or four times within like probably a half hour. Sounds ridiculous, but that's actually a really, really well run thing. A lot of space. I was really blown away. I figured it was going to be kind of a madhouse in a way with how they're running things, but they had their act together. They kind of, you know, opened up our eyes. That's why it's in Boston. That's why, you know, not around here. Like Hop Sauce last year, that was pretty well run. That was a fraction of how big this place was. This was a huge place, over, what was it, 60, 70 breweries? Almost, yeah, well over 300 beers. Yeah. Favorite beers. That was the great thing about this. The bigger...
I said favorite beer. Don't get greedy.
I'm getting to it. The bigger breweries, I thought, kind of underwhelmed a little bit. I won't name names, but to me personally, the underdogs really prevailed. Tons of breweries that I had no idea existed. I had no who they were. We experimented. We kind of went to them. And the great thing is when the three of us were online, we would get three different beers and we would kind of swap beers, and we would, you know, just, but by far, I'm going to have to agree with Lucas. The best one was the Madagascar Porter, Vanilla Porter, I believe it was, by Four Hands. Mm-hmm. That was, yeah, it was one of those. It was absolutely dynamite.
It was a stout.
I never experienced a more delicious, more smooth, more just intoxicating, pun intended, just force. It was just so wonderful. I literally would have sucked my mouth on the tap and just drank the whole thing. It was absolutely wonderful. Bravo. If you ever need a suggestion, I would say I would certainly go next year. And as Lucas said, it's a limited run, so you really gotta know ahead of time when the tickets go on sale. Our friend Dave, who went with us, shout out to Dave. He was the reason we went. He really kept us up to date. He, you know, the time period we went was a highly sought after, I guess, time frame. It was Saturday midday. So really, once the tickets go on sale, it's just a matter of days, if not hours, if not days, to get them. So I would highly recommend the Boston Extreme Beer Festival next year for anyone who's listening and curious or just want to follow our footsteps, which is highly flattering. Flattening. It's not flattening, it's flattering. Al, how about you? What was your take on the whole weekend and festival?
I don't want to repeat what you guys said. You guys pretty much nailed it when it comes to how great it was, how greatly it was organized, how effortless it was to get beers, short lines. And I was really amazed at how there was no problems, whether from attendees getting too drunk or rowdy. It was very calm for where we were and what we were dealing with. So I was very impressed by all of that. Beer Advocate really organized a great event. My favorite beer, which was tough on many reasons. One, we probably had like 40 or 50 beers. That's an A. B, I got really drunk towards the end, so I kind of forgot a lot of them. But, and C, Ryan kind of said my favorite, which was the Madagascar. But to not repeat ourselves, I'm going to go with Funky Buddha's maple bacon coffee porter. Because when you can mix...
Because this is America. Yeah.
Because when you can mix three things like maple, bacon, and coffee into my favorite type of beer, which is a porter, you get something special.
A boner. And,
yeah. And oh my God. It makes me want to go to Oakland Park, Florida and buy all of it.
It was seriously like a liquid breakfast. It was wonderful.
Phenomenal. Honestly, it was one of the best beers I've ever had. You know, if they had awards there, which I don't know why they didn't, they should have. Yeah, it was kind of weird. Was there not awards there?
I didn't hear any.
No, because I know the AC Beer Fest, they do awards for like best types of beer and stuff. But if they did, that beer would have won like best of show or like most unique beer or Al's favorite beer, which would have won
President of the United States.
It's a coveted award to get Al's favorite beer. So yeah, we had a great time at Extreme Beer Fest. We recommend try to snag tickets next year. We are thinking about going again next year if we can afford it. But yeah, definitely check it out.
Lucas?
I wanted to say one more thing. Because in terms of like surprises and like stuff that was weird, while Funky Buddha was good, like Funky Buddha, Dogfish, I thought, brought the house down with a beer that they brewed specifically for the festival. They had Extremis and Extromulus, I think they were called, mm-hmm. based off of the old Roman legend of the two brothers who founded the seven cities of Rome, Remus and Romulus. So I had the Extromulus, which was a stout that was aged in white wine barrels.
Oh, that was really good.
And, like, that, because normally you see, like, stouts aged in red wine, stouts in whiskey barrels. I think we had a joke going that even if we tried to get water at the place, it would still be aged in a bourbon barrel. can we get a glass of water? Yeah, it's been aged on whiskey barrels, and it's mixed with coffee beans and run through an infuser.
And it's about 10% now.
I just want water.
Oh, you have to go outside and drink the pond outside.
Which has been aged in barrels.
I thought Dogfish nailed the Extromulus and a stout in white wine. Like, it was a fruity stout. And, like, that kind of thing, like, that's why I went to this beer festival, was to go have my mind exploded. Like, I can go and get really good porters and really good stouts and really good, you know, examples of styles, but it's the kind of stuff like the maple bacon coffee porter, the hop manna IPA aged in tequila barrels, a stout aged in white wine barrels. Like, that kind of weird, interesting stuff is why I go to these things. That's my final note. I just wanted to throw a shout-out to Dogfish Head. Nice job.
And one last thing, I just want to congratulate all the four of us, because right before the festival, I don't know if you guys remember, because we were wasted by the end of it, we had only a bagel in our system before we went. I don't know what we were thinking, why we didn't get lunch or something.
We did have lunch. We had a cinnamon waffle coated in chocolate sauce.
That doesn't count. We had that as we were stumbling out of the festival, because...
I'm proud of us.
Yeah, we did a great job.
We did a wonderful job, wonderful coverage by everyone on the squad.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking very forward to next year. I hope you two are also, and we should go.
Yes, definitely. But this is news over brews, and we've talked a lot about brews. Let's get into some news while we finish our brews. It's been a busy couple weeks when it comes to entertainment news, and we want to talk about everything, but we really can't.
keep going.
That was just my phone vibrating.
Okay. We want to talk about everything, but we really can't. So I thought let's talk about some of the best or worst things that happened in pop culture the last week or so. We're going to start off again with Lucas. This is going to be short and sweet, but nonetheless very important for fans of BBC, BBC America, and of course Top Gear. Lucas, take it away.
Top Gear is dead.
Long live Top Gear.
So, BBC chose not to renew Jeremy Clarkson's contract. Not unforeseen. Clarkson's been on probation, essentially, for quite a long time over a few things that he probably did intentionally and some things which he did not do intentionally. For fans of the show, the latest incident being the Falklands number plate, which apparently is a reference to the Falklands War, even though the numbers are completely wrong. But, you know, people will see what they want to see. But there is a legitimate history of grievances against Jeremy Clarkson.
Got a lot of problems with you, people.
Basically. And the latest one, the damning one, is he punched a producer in the face. The context being that after a long day of shooting, Clarkson went out to the pub and he came back from the pub and he wanted to order apparently some steak and chips, as Brits are wont to do. And the kitchen was closed. And he took it out on the producer and punched the producer in the face. He turned himself in and submitted himself for judgment for a inquiry panel, and the inquiry panel found that he was not going to have his contract renewed. What does this mean for gearheads? Clarkson is not going to be back on Top Gear. I would probably go so far as to say as May and Hammond will also not be back on Top Gear. The reason that Top Gear is so successful is not because of Top Gear. If you'll remember, the show has gone through a few reboots. And it started off as a strict motoring show, like very sensible reviews and information, and then it was redone essentially by Clarkson and Hammond as more of a talk show style event that features cars. It went from a show that talked about the pros and cons of buying a used Bentley to launching cars with a pneumatic air cannon into a canyon as a form of playing darts. One, I think, is slightly more entertaining than the other. But they're also known for, like, really, you know, awesome road trips where they take supercars through fantastic destinations, and they do provide a lot of useful information. And, yeah. So I think, I mean, honestly, I have a feeling that they're all going to leave, and they're going to go start a show somewhere else, hopefully Netflix, so that I can watch them on my schedule. I think that would be cool. I feel like not only is Netflix a hip place to be right now, but it also provides a lot of freedom. You know, they don't have to worry about corporate sponsors telling them they can't have this car, or they shouldn't talk about this car, or they can't say this, they can't say that. So while I'm sad that Clarkson is gone off Top Gear, I'm excited for what the future holds for the three of them. And hopefully they continue to work together. Maybe they can, instead of calling it Top Gear, they can call it, like, Final Piston or Apex Steering Rack or something like that. Or the BBC is a giant knob. We want to go with something James May said.
Very true.
So on that bombshell, it's time to end. Good night.
Good night. Well, Ryan and I don't have anything to add since we both don't watch Top Gear, which is a travesty because I know it's a really funny show.
Well, I've watched a little bit.
Ryan says he watched a little bit. I don't believe him. So let's move on to something Ryan actually knows something a little bit about.
I've watched all 23 seasons front to back, so.
Ryan,
I'm glad you had time to watch that. Yeah,
stop it. You never watch Top Gear. Just get
all on. Right.
But let's move on to something you actually do care about. Pretty big movie and book news for fans of the popular. And when I say popular, I mean ridiculously popular. Book. I was going to say series, but it's actually just one book. The book Ready Player One. Which coincidentally, we received in our last Loot Crate. We didn't post the video from our series Loot Crate Unbox, which you can watch on our YouTube channel, or the Pop Break YouTube channel. But we are going to be discussing that box and the latest one that we just received on our next episode. So make sure you tune into that. Getting back into the crux of the matter, Ready Player One is a very, very popular book. It's like in a dystopian world. Ryan knows more about it since he started reading it, but he's only read like 3 pages of it. But at this point, it is a very, very hot commodity, and it has been for the last couple of years in Hollywood. It's just kind of being in development hell where they haven't either found a producer or a director. At one point, Christopher Nolan was rumored to direct it, but it looks like they finally found a director, and damn, they picked a good one. Ryan, take it away.
So, if you want to know about movies, well, I will tell you. So Ready Player One is a dystopian set novel where a It involves a virtual reality console named Oasis, and involves a young boy who kind of discovers his big treasure and inherits, you know, goes through all the challenges. I will not bore you with the details because I don't know any of the details. I am on chapter 3, which is farther than page 3. Al's a dick. But a tiny dick. Tiny
mean.
Little one.
Just too mean. Don't spread lies on this podcast.
Little penis. So, the chosen director to helm this so far wonderful property is none other than Steven Spielberg.
Who's he?
Who is Steven Spielberg? Go fuck yourself. You should know who Steven Spielberg is by now.
And now it's an explicit.
And
podcast.
Now it's explicit. You already said it once today. So, it's obviously wonderful news. It was unexpected because last year, after Interstellar was released, a big rumor was kind of going around that Christopher Nolan would be the director who would be chosen to helm this big kind of grand scheme picture. And I guess I kind of believe that as well. It kind of fit a little bit. You know, it's a grand scale thing, but Spielberg, he'll do just fine. I think actually it's a smart choice for him, so he can kind of return to form. Personally, I feel like he's kind of gone off a little bit of ways his last few pictures. I believe his last movie is War Horse. I don't know.
Wasn't it Lincoln?
What?
Wasn't it Lincoln?
It was Lincoln. War Horse was before that. Well, I mean, Lincoln was.
Yeah, but I miss Catch Me If You Can Spielberg. That was my favorite Spielberg.
That's just what I was getting at. I think it's a good kind of it's more of a fun project for Spielberg, which I feel like he does best at.
Yeah.
I necessarily wouldn't have picked Spielberg to do like Lincoln per se. He's more of an entertainment guy. He's the guy that did Jurassic Park and Jaws and and even what's that one with Tom Cruise? Minority Report. Private Ryan. Would you watch a World War II picture with Tom Cruise? Oh, wait. That's Valkyrie. I'm sorry. No,
The movie. I thought it was good.
Oh, God. All right. So Minority Report, which is very fun. I think this is a very smart move. I'm actually very excited for it, being that I'm not even a third of the way into the book. I love it already. It's a wonderfully written book. And, you know, I have no complaints against this. How about you guys? Anything?
I was just going to say that it's about time that he did a younger, not even a younger property. I'm saying it's about time to see Spielberg kind of show that he can still make a young man's movie. Like Martin Scorsese, who's like a zillion years old at this point, made one of the coolest, like most fast-paced yet longest movies ever with Wolf of Wall Street. Now I know that's a totally different type of animal, but Spielberg's getting older, but it doesn't mean that his vision is older or his like creative talent is getting older. I'm tired of seeing period pieces, man. Do something cool like you did Minority Report. Although it wasn't a big like pop culture movie, it's still really cool. And you mentioned Jurassic Park, Close Encounters of the whatever, Star Wars produced. I know he directed
Close Encounters of the whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
The Close Encounters from the Turd from Behind. What was that from?
the Third Kind.
Anyway,
the greatest movies ever made.
Anyway, but what I'm trying to say is, and Catch Me If You Can, which is my favorite movie from of his.
Listen, you didn't like Valkyrie. Did you not like Valkyrie?
Well, where does Valkyrie in Close Encounters of the Third?
No, this is the point that you dismissed Valkyrie.
I feel like you guys cut me off, and I'm not liking it. So I'm going to continue my thought while you guys.
Which is extremely important. Is why Ryan didn't like Valkyrie.
Because Valkyrie is no one watched Valkyrie anyway.
I watched Valkyrie.
Yeah, because you watch good things anyway. So what I'm trying to say is,
you watch.
I watch things.
Yeah, you watch Top Gear American version.
How dare you take that back right now?
What
you pasty son of a bitch.
What I'm trying to say is,
turning to a fury of insults.
Shut up.
Right.
Is what I'm trying to say is, I think this is a great move for Spielberg, and I'm really excited to see this film, because this is something that's been in development forever. So, yeah, thank you guys for letting me finish my thought.
You're welcome.
I know how Lucas feels.
Yeah, exactly. Now you know how I feel.
I don't know.
7-hour car ride back from Boston.
Don't know how you feel.
Hey guys, you know what I think? Oh no, let me tell you how you think.
Moving on,
Al Manarino.
Moving on to our last and final topic, a little more TV news. We're gonna skip music this week. Not that nothing big happened to music, because they probably did.
Lots of stuff.
But I thought something really important would be something that is near and dear to Ryan, and I'm guessing Lucas, because he's a nerd. They're bringing back another show, another big pop culture show. So, you know, over the last week or two, we had, not week or two, year or two, we had 24 come back. We've had Twin Peaks is coming back. There's a ton of shows that they're kind of reviving for either a new audience or just to suck whatever's life left in it. And the next show for that had a movie recently, man, last 4 or 5 years, which...
You don't speak of it.
Which wasn't good, apparently. So they're going to try to bring it back for six episodes.
One movie.
They're going to try to bring it back for six episodes. And that show is The X-Files. And since I know nothing about The X-Files, I'm going to give that... That's a poor theme song, so I'm going to give it to Ryan to talk about this a little bit. Go.
Well, I was actually just going to sing the X-Files theme song for about 5 minutes. Well, this is absolutely wonderful and very unexpected news. Yes, as Al said, the TV show, which was mind-blowing and very... It kind of set the stone for a lot of current shows. Well, not so current anymore, but like Fringe or any kind of like sci-fi-esque kind of shows. It really, you know, kind of set that, you know, in motion. The show, which went on for, I believe, 9 or 10 seasons, most people do believe that the show went on maybe a touch too long, maybe 2-3 seasons too long.
I want to believe that.
Shut up.
Well, I was going to say, you kind of ruined it. I was going to say, in the words of Fox Mulder, I want to believe. And, you know, it was wonderful because the two, you know, they made a movie during the show.
Which was good.
And then they made the second movie, which was X-Files, I Want to Believe. And it was just a big old pile of Fox Mulder shit. It was just so poorly done, and it came out about a week or so after some movie called The Dark Knight. So it made about...
Never heard of it.
23 cents in the box office. But which was good, because, you know, I know for years and years they've been wanting to do a third movie, and, you know, I guess a lot of people maybe weren't in the works for... This is perfect. This is what X-Files is. I prefer this. It's coming back to its roots, Fox, for six episodes. Touch too short, maybe. In an interview, Chris Carter, the creator of X-Files, said, which was true, he said, the world has become only stranger since the ending of X-Files, and we really want to tell these six stories, which leads me to believe that it's six separate stories, which has no alien mythology, thankfully, hopefully, and it's, as most X-Files fans know, the show is greatly divided amongst two categories. It is the alien mythology, which kind of reigned throughout the show, which I didn't care for, which wasn't nearly as good as the second category, which was the standalone episodes. And you'll see my article coming out whenever that comes out of the 10 best X-Files episodes, where I will name off the 10 best episodes. Most of them are the standalones. So this is exciting. The six new episodes, they'll start shooting in the summer. I have no idea what they'll do, if they'll adapt the old story, if they'll take on a new story, if it's going to be a new supporting cast, if they're going to keep up with that weird Mulder and Scully romance.
God, I hope not.
I hope not. I kind of hope that, like, they tried it, they failed, and then, like, they're partners again. I don't know. I have a lot
Let's
of wants
on.
And desires. What's that?
Let's move on.
Anyway, I can rant forever about this.
I'm talking about the romance.
Oh, about their but still, very exciting. Six episodes. I will certainly be watching them. Lucas, what's your thoughts on this? The original, get rid of it.
It'll probably be all right. You know? I mean, if they've already got six stories written and they're going to make them standalone episodes, the standalone episodes are usually the best. I mean,
I'm led to believe they're going to be
standalone. So the alien mythology was good, I thought, up until a certain point. Like, the alien mythology would have been much better suited as, like, for fans of Doctor Who, how Bad Wolf was scattered throughout the first season, and how Harold Saxon posters were scattered throughout the third season. Like, the alien mythology would have been much better as a thing where, like, it's been there all along and you never realized it. I think that would have fit the show a little more. So I think it was a good idea, poorly executed. If there's six... Yeah. If there's six standalone episodes, then great. But to be completely honest, I'm probably not going to watch it. And not for the reason that I normally don't watch things. Normally I don't watch things because I just don't give a shit. Or normally I don't watch things because I don't have time. This one I won't watch because... I guess it's more the first reason. I don't really give a shit. And the reason is because I'm already watching something that satisfies my need for the strange and the unusual. Black Mirror. Which you have to watch. If you're, alright, so if you're a fan of the X-Files, don't watch the X-Files. Watch Black Mirror instead. Black Mirror is a show, no, seriously, Black Mirror is a show that combines the best parts of the X-Files and the best parts of the old school Twilight Zone into one show. It really is. Like, I watched the first episode, like, it was dark. Like, really dark. Like, if the Twilight Zone, if Rod Sterling was a sociopath, that would have been the first episode of Black Mirror. But it's good. Like, it's, you know, the X-Files and the Twilight Zone and all these shows were supposed to be a reflection of society, right? Like, it's supposed to force you to look into the mirror. That's what the best episodes of the X-Files were about. Forcing you to look into the mirror at yourself and at society and the way that we react to certain things. Right?
Right.
We can all agree on that. Al's like, sure, whatever. And I don't know. I just feel like they're going to have trouble updating the format for this time, for this time period. And even if they succeed in doing that, do you really think that the network's going to renew it? Because who's going to watch The X-Files? People who like The X-Files are going to give it a shot. You'll give it a shot. I'll be honest. I'll probably pop over for an episode or two, especially if they're standalones. Yeah. If they're standalone episodes, oh my gosh, I'll be so happy. Because then I can watch one or two. but... You know, it's not gonna draw on the audience that they think it will.
I don't know, because the news so far, since it broke, it's been trending. You know, I think it's pretty big. I think people are very interested in kind of discovering these characters, where they've been for 5 years, and before that, where they've been for another 5 years. I think Al's trying to hang himself with his own hand. So, try to wrap this up. I'm excited for it. Al, are you watching Black Mirror at all?
No, it's next. I'm actually finishing up Orphan Black, which is a really, really cool show on the BBC. If you haven't started watching that yet, I recommend. Basically, the BBC is like every American network, but with their shit together.
Yeah.
So weird. Because they're just making cool shit. You got stuff like Broadchurch. Of course, Orphan Black, Black Mirror, and a little show called Doctor Who. So already those four shows kick ass. Oh, and I'm sorry, BBC is not the only one. It's actually it's PBS as well, because that's who has Sherlock and I want to say Broadchurch. Could be wrong. Mm-hmm. Sherlock, I'm definitely positive on that. It's PBS. Anyway, I will not be watching the X-Files, mainly because I never watched the original series. But that's pretty cool for fans of X-Files, that they're getting at least six more episodes. Hopefully they don't do it like the Jack Bauer 24...
Live Another Day.
Yeah. Boop. Die Boop. Another Live. I don't know what Beep. It was.
Boop.
Yeah, Die Another Dead. Why, was that bad? I actually
didn't... I heard nothing good from it. But I'll send it back to Lucas.
Yeah. I mean, no, it wasn't that good. But you should watch it, Al. You know why you should watch it and we shouldn't? Is because you have no experience with the X-Files. You are the only one who's able to go into this show and give us an objective review, because us, no matter how hard we try, are going to be comparing it against our best episodes from the original series. And if this if this new reboot is going to succeed, it can't be the original X-Files.
All right, so maybe we should watch, we can watch the first episode together, and I could tell you my opinion on it, and then you guys can shit on it.
Well, I mean, not, listen, I want to like it. Like, I,
Tommy doesn't
want
to like it.
These shows that I enjoyed watching, like, if Twilight Zone got another remake, I wouldn't, like, just shit on it right away. I want it to come back. I want it to succeed. You know, Star Trek Enterprise, I held on to hope for a bit too long, I think. You know, the third season was good, fourth season was good, but those first two seasons, I felt like I was arguing against a tempest, you know? So, like, I want these shows of my franchises to succeed. It's just that I don't think they will, because you're stuck between a rock and a hard place. You're stuck between, do we try to put this series in a new direction and take a big risk, or do we just bank on the fact that we're using the X-Files as a name?
Yeah, cater to the original fans, or try to expand the audience, which is the entire premise. Bringing back a show to gain a new audience, and that's the problem. Like, with Heroes Reborn, Heroes, right out the bat, first season, was a phenomenon. It was one of the most watched programs on television. It was such a good show. Ryan will tell you that is that's one of the best first seasons of a show ever.
Might be the best.
Possibly the best. Second season got hit with a writer's strike. It was also the worst season of a show I ever watched. Horrible.
Coincidence?
Horrible. The worst. It was writer's strike hit it, got a shorter season order. It wasn't a good season at all, and it lost a lot of its audience. It dropped. Third season, it was all right. Fourth season, it was getting back to form. They canceled it. That sucks.
At the most crucial point, too, I remember.
At the when they ended Heroes, in that fourth season, that episode, that last episode, was going to change the game for the whole show. And then they never gave us anything until, like, 5 years later when they're like, hey, we're going to bring it back for a limited run, but it's going to be totally different. It's going to Heroes Reborn. Not going to have any of the... It's going to have a little bit of the major cast and new people. How does that help us? How does that help any of the people who were left?
I remember we were even saying, just give us a two-hour finale.
A one-hour movie. A TV movie I would have taken. A two-hour one would be phenomenal. Or even like a straight-to-Netflix thing. Something. But now we're getting a whole show, which is great. But are we going to get a continuation of the show that we liked? Or are we going to? Are they going to try to expand it? Are they going to try to be like, well, it didn't work because of this reason. Let's try to introduce it. But I also think it's, with television and film, they've been doing it for the last, man, 5 to 10 years of rebooting old movies and old television shows. And at this point is when other, like we were just talking about, the BBC are, you know, making all this great original programming, same thing with Netflix. I mean, when are they going to stop? Like, when are they going to stop bringing back old stuff and just make new stuff?
When stop watching it.
But that's that. We already stopped watching it. How many reboots of 80s action movies came out in the last 2 years that we didn't care about? RoboCop, Total Recall, Miami Vice. Not 2 years, that's a little further back. But still, like, we don't give a shit about any of these movies. The new ones, at least. We love the 80s movies. Or not even. Did we even like RoboCop that much? It was okay.
I love RoboCop.
RoboCop was good. It's just not like a classic, I don't think. But anyway, what I'm trying to say is...
Looking for me?
I'd buy that.
But like, when are they going to, like, when are they really going to cross the line and remake something that should not be remade? That's the thing. It's like, yeah, it's the X-Files. Yeah, we want to see more of that. You know, yeah, it's Heroes. We want to see more of that. But like... When they say something like, we're going to remake The Shining.
I'll tell you what my breaking point is going to be. When they remake Top Gun.
Oh, wait, they did that already.
If they remake Top Gun, I'm out.
Or remake Jaws or
something.
Didn't
they make Top Gear in the U.S.?
No, Top Gun.
Oh, Top Gun.
Top Gun.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that's... the movie that I base most of my clothing and appearance choices off of.
That's why no one likes you.
Just trying to find an Iceman.
All right, well,
I got you, baby.
mini rant over. But yeah, that's the. It's gonna be great for. Hopefully, it's gonna be a really good show for fans of the X-Files, like you guys. I'm not really too interested in it, mainly because I didn't watch the original series. But that won't stop me from watching the pilot, giving it a chance, because, you know, I watch everything. I'm actually the complete opposite of Lucas. But yeah, that's going to wrap it up for another episode of News Over Brews, and I'm looking at the time, and this was a long one. Sorry about that, but we had a lot to discuss. I'd like to thank Dave, our friend Dave, for, you know, supplying us with an awesome weekend in Boston. And we'll make sure to have him on an upcoming podcast. I think we're going to actually, maybe the next one or a couple down the line, we brought some beers back from a couple of the breweries we went to. So I think maybe the next podcast we'll have him on, and we can break down the beer from Trillium. So hopefully that's going to happen sooner rather than later. Anything else you guys want to say?
I'm shipping up to Boston.
Whoa.
Yeah, that's why I never usually send it to you guys before we end, before we end this podcast. Thanks for listening. I'm Al Manarino, and it's wicked hot to do a podcast.
And I'm Ryan DeMarco, and I'm shipping up to Boston.
And I'm Lucas Jones, and I like my women like I like my coffee. Hot, steamy, and ready to go at 7 a.m.
You said that already.
I don't know who said that one. That's a new one. Thanks for listening.
Every time I say it, it's a new one. Get over yourself.